The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
The price of your petrol or diesel went up a little bit yesterday. From what Eamon Ryan was telling us on this programme last week, there could be further charges on motoring. Particularly, he has an idea to impose higher taxes on the heavier SUVs. And that's where we're going to start this evening, because we're joined by Brenda Power, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail and Sunday Times. And you've written strongly in favour of this because you have an issue with SUVs, which is what, Brenda?
I mean, I think it's probably the only one of these proposals that I actually agree with, because I think they're by and large ridiculous vehicles, the Jeeps and the outsized sort of vanity vehicles, if you like, that you see, particularly around areas of Dublin 6 and 4, where, you know, you're unlikely to encounter herds of roaming wildebeest or buffalo to, you know, negotiate. And the roads are generally passable. And as far as I can see, they are mostly being driven by single passengers, and they clog up the roads, and particularly around the schools at drop-off time. You can't get past a school in South Dublin at drop-off time for the amount of SUVs. It's like a showroom. And I just think they are vanity vehicles. They are getting wider, according to statistics. The average width of the average vehicle in Europe, it was 180 centimetres about 2 years ago. We were still bigger than that. I think our average was almost 182. Now, the best-selling car in Ireland last year was 185. I think it was the Hyundai Tucson, was 185 centimetres wide. So they're getting wider. They're getting taller, which makes them more dangerous because it's harder to see pedestrians at that height. You're 30% more likely to hit a pedestrian for every extra 10 centimetres of height in your car. And for a cyclist like myself, it makes the roads absolutely lethal, because you're trying now to squeeze through cars that are a good 20% wider than they would have been 30 years ago.
Okay, you've got all John Gibbons on us here. He doesn't like the SUVs either, but he loves all the other proposals that Eamon Ryan has put forward. But Brenda, what about the idea that, you know, people should be free to choose whatever car they want to drive, that they're paying for them? They pay an awful lot of taxes as part of the acquisition of that particular car. They pay their insurance, they pay their motor vehicle registration and their motor tax. They pay expensively for the privilege. Why should they be charged more?
Well, then they won't mind paying a little bit extra for the privilege and for the prestige of the car that they're driving. And, you know, to sort of maybe satisfy their desires, then everybody looking at them will know that not only do they pay over 100 grand for the car, and not only can they afford to pay higher road tax, you know, but they can also afford now to pay whatever extra levy is going to be put on it. So I would say win-win.
Theoretically, they are more dangerous, just judging by the stats that you've quoted to us. But I wonder, of all of the road deaths that tragically we have had on the roads since the start of this year, how many have actually involved SUVs, or how many have actually come down to more cars been on the road because of our bigger population and just speeding and various other things taking place? It's unlikely to be in where you described Dublin 4 and Dublin 6, where we've had many of the fatalities.
It's not, but at the same time, Matt, I mean, one of the arguments for the bigger cars is safety. Crumple zones, airbags, safety zones, safety cells, don't seem to be making our roads any safer. They don't seem to be making us any more courteous drivers. In fact, it would appear to me that the sort of safety measures that we are prioritising are very driver-centric, and they're not concerned about the welfare of pedestrians, cyclists, and other road users. And you might, I know it's a daft old truism, but you know the saying that if you knew a spike would come out of the steering wheel rather than an airbag, you'd drive an awful lot more carefully to avoid a collision. I know nobody would buy that particular model, but the reality is that we are inclined to feel almost too safe, and you'd wonder whether that perception or that assumption that you've spent all this money on this fancy car and it's got all these bells and whistles to keep you safe makes you actually more likely to take a risk.
Okay, you say that's one of 35 actions set out by Eamon Ryan. That's the only one you agree with, is it?
Actually, you know, there was one other.
Just the one other.
the proposal to incentivize less motoring. Now, I know that's not going to go down well in rural areas because people have no option but to drive. But it struck me that the people who might maybe avail of lower insurance for less motoring would be young people. And as we know, tragically, they are by far the most at risk cohort on the road. I think 30% of those killed so far this year have been under 25.
Okay, there's lots of messages coming into 0874100102. Before I go to our other guest, one says, visibility is way better in an SUV than in a regular car. You're up higher, so you get to see more of what's in front of you. Another one, it's not for luxury that you drive an SUV. What if you have three kids in wheelchairs and need to be able to transport them in their wheelchairs? Don't label everyone as just driving them for their fanciness. Driving in rural Ireland, these SUVs are needed with the state of the roads. Also, in the frost and bad weather, driving in rural Ireland where there are no salt trucks, the SUVs are safer, says another listener. Another one says, less SUV crashes than normal cars. Pointless argument. I don't know where the stats are to say there are less SUV crashes. I don't know if there are more of them as well. And then, of course, there's also people asking for a definition of what an SUV is. I suppose, I think for a lot of people, Brenda, you see it, you know what an SUV is.
Well, no, I do think there's a difference between maybe a people carrier, whereas if you have a large family and maybe a seven-seater or whatever, and the sports utility vehicle, which would be the Jeep, and you know, with the fittings for carrying your jet ski on the roof or whatever, that sort of vehicle.
Okay, one of your fans, Peter and Cavan, saying he disagrees with you for the first time ever because he has a serious back injury and can only drive Range Rover diesel with big road tax, more expensive than fuel. I live in the middle of Cavan and often get stuck in the snow and bad weather, not to mention the bad roads. Well, linked to this, we also have Kevin McPartlin with us, the Chief Executive for Fuels for Ireland, because you're complaining about, well, it's only a marginal increase in the price of a litre of petrol and diesel from yesterday. What is it? About 4 cents a litre?
Well, I think people who think that's marginal may be in a fortunate position of not missing an extra couple of euro a week when they're filling up their car. But yes, it was 4 cents on petrol yesterday, 3 cents on diesel. But that's going to come on top of, or it's going to be followed by, the same increase in excise duty on the 1st of August. It's going to come on top of a carbon tax increase on budget night, which we already know that's been confirmed. And we also know that there is going to be an increase to what's called the Renewable Transport Fuel Obligation Scheme. So the thing that that gives the limit to the amount of biofuels that we can blend into the petrol and diesel.
These are all coming in the rest to 2024,
yeah,
is
so
it?
So between this weekend and the 1st of January, the total increase is going to be 14 cent per litre on petrol and 12 cent on diesel. And my problem with that is, I don't believe that was a decision that was ever taken by government. I don't believe it was a decision that was taken by the Minister for Finance, because there are three or four different government departments all involved here. Each doing.
I'm sure now the Department of Finance, when it does its sums on each budget day, takes all of these things into account. It has the carbon budget at the same time as it brings out the financial budget.
I agree when it's coming up to the budget, but I don't believe, and if I'm wrong, I'd love Minister McGrath to tell me that I'm wrong, that anybody sat down and said, let's put 14 cents a litre onto the price of petrol in 8 months, particularly coming up to
But hold on, the price of petrol and diesel varies all the time. Anyway, your members were stuffing us with prices of over €2 a litre at one stage before the government intervened to reduce the taxes to make the fuel more affordable to people.
Well, you won't be surprised, Matt, that I don't accept anybody was being stuffed, because the price was dictated by global trends and the margins on fuels is actually tiny. And the CCPC did an investigation at around that time and found that the margins were very small on
I'm getting out my small violin for you.
It's the truth. You know, and it's an established truth. It was established by the CCPC. Where people actually make the profits is on the newspapers, the Mars bars, the breakfast rolls, the pints of milk or whatever. Very often, the fuel is used as a footfall driver. But that's not the point that we're here to talk about tonight. What we're talking about is this steady sort of sleepwalking into this ever-increasing price on fuel. And we don't think that that's desirable, particularly the inflationary impact that will have. And we don't believe it's deliberate. So what we want is the Minister for Finance to arrange an expert group. We've been talking about this for a while, and we've heard positive noises from the Department of Finance, but it has yet to happen. form an expert group, bring in the environmental campaigners, bring in the fuel industry, bring in the hauliers, bring in the coach operators, bring in representatives of Rural Ireland and consumers.
You want to make fuel cheaper, do you? But does that not go against all of the environmental concerns and to try and discourage people from excessive driving?
I don't think I said that at all, Matt. What I want is...
You're implying it, though.
No, I'm certainly not. I don't think that this would actually reduce the excise and VAT on fuels at all. But what I want us to have is a long-term strategic approach to this, because we have three key priorities. We need to make sure that we support the transition to sustainable fuels. That's absolutely essential. We need to make sure that the government continues to collect the revenue that it does from fuels. About 5% of the total tax take comes from our products. And thirdly, we need to make sure that we're not pricing people out of being able to transport their family around, for businesses to get their products to market and to heat their homes.
OK, Brendan Power, do you have any sympathy with the sort of campaigns by the like of Fuels for Ireland representing the petrol and diesel sellers that is too expensive for people at present when it comes to fueling their car?
Well, I mean, I do think that a lot of these policies sound to me as though they're very Dublin-centric, and they're predicated on the assumption that you have alternatives, such as public transport, which we know is not a real alternative. Even in Dublin, it's not actually, if you need to get anywhere in a hurry and with any reliability. So, I mean, I do have sympathy for people who need their cars and who rely on their cars. And you know, this notion that I think one of the reasons that was given for reintroducing the customs and the excise on fuel, which had been cut because of the Ukrainian war, was partly to disincentivize people. And that's fine if you have an adequate alternative, but we don't.
Thank you very much, Brenda Power, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail and the Irish edition of the Sunday Times, and Kevin McPartlin, Chief Executive of Fuels for Ireland.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.